All right. Hey, guys, and welcome back to another podcast, another Dominican Gaming 180 podcast. With me, as always, Brody.
Yo.
Brody, tell them what we're going to do today.
All right, so last time we did a Spider-Man tier list. This time we're going to go over our top five favorite superheroes. So this could be Marvel, DC, or anything else in between, you name it.
And also, we just did part one of our favorite video game franchises.
Oh, yeah, that was a draft.
Yeah, draft. So if you guys still haven't watched that and are interested in that, part one is out. So Brody said, this is gonna be our favorite superheroes, you know. So
it ain't gonna be a 5-on-5. Who would win? Like, it ain't gonna be nothing fancy like that. Just
yeah, because that's a separate conversation for another day.
Yeah.
So you know, but you know, it could be DC, Marvel, or whatever you can really think of. But you know, DC and Marvel are what you really think of when you think heroes. But
right.
You know, there's always independent, you know, heroes out there. But so Brody, I'll let you start.
We're starting at five and working our way up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my number five, this might surprise some people, I might raise some eyebrows with this one. My number five is, man, it's gotta go to Hawkeye.
Ooh, okay.
And here's why. So throughout the movies, right, he's in the first Avengers. They win.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the Age of Ultron. They win. He's in Team Cap. Or he's on Team Cap in Civil War. Team Cap wins. He's not around for Infinity War. They lose. He comes back for Endgame, and they win. See, you see a pattern there? he's probably like one of the most underrated.
So you're saying he's the Kevin Love of superheroes, huh?
Nah, he's the Kyrie Irving of superheroes.
Nah, but okay, I see it. I like it. I see it. Okay,
and I like this TV show a lot too. This TV show is pretty cool. It was enjoyable.
Have not watched it yet, so I
recommend it because it was a fun watch. Him and Kate Bishop.
All right. So, my first. He's not the weakest. This is just like the you know, from what comes to mind. You know. He's not the weakest when it comes to his abilities. He actually might be one of the most powerful on my list. But the Martian Manhunter.
This is your fifth?
Yeah, the Martian Manhunter. Dude, I mean, you know, of course, he's a Martian, you know, so, and he has telepathic powers, you know, so he's basically, I feel like a cooler version. In some aspects, a better version of Superman, like in my opinion, bro. If you really look into the Martian Manhunter, he is really underappreciated or underrated, because the only times that I've seen anything about the Martian Manhunter was in the original Justice League show, like around the early 2000s, that is now on Netflix. If any of y'all want to watch it, but I watched it as a kid, and then the second time I saw him represented was in the Supergirl show.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of those shows yet.
Yeah, John Jones. Oh, bro, you haven't seen the Justice League?
The movies?
No. Not the movies. The animated series.
Oh yeah, like the OG one. Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah. So
long time ago.
Oh, and you can definitely rewatch it. I've been watching a little bit of it. You know, get a little nostalgic, but it still holds up. Like I always like to say, bro. Like the shows that they used to come out, the animated series that used to come out. It actually used to be very watchable, you know, even as an adult, because. You know, now everything is so spoon fed and dumbed down for the kids that like nothing's left for interpretation. You know, So, definitely, John Jones, the Martian Manhunter. If you don't know much about him, look him up. That's all I gotta say.
I guess I'm about to look him up then. I don't know a lot about him. When it comes to DC, I'm kind of like unfamiliar compared to Marvel. So I'm more of a Marvel fanatic, but I already know I'm going to get chewed out for that. But it's, we all have our personal preferences.
Listen, I like both Marvel and DC, but I know I can say I know a little bit more about DC than Marvel.
Yeah, and I'm the other way around. I know a lot more about Marvel than DC.
So, brother, you want to go with your number four pick?
This is tough. I feel like it's disrespectful not to have Superman in the top five. So I'm gonna have to put him at four. The Man of Steel himself, Henry Cavill, was a really good Superman.
That's another thing. Like who I was gonna ask you who was your favorite Superman? Because you know,
probably Henry Cavill.
All right. Yeah, I mean his movie got shelled because it was like a dark, gritty version of Superman.
Man, that DC's whole cinematic universe kind of got sold.
Hey, when it comes to one of my picks, you'll hear my thoughts, okay?
I mean, Supes is kind of boring, though. As Stan Lee once said, it's boring to have a guy that can do everything and, you know, has, like, no character development. But, nah, I mean, Superman's... I don't mind Superman.
I mean, like you said, there's no way that you can have a superhero list, you know, without Superman. There's just no way. You know,
people are gonna be mad that he's not one or two, but that's just, you know, that's my personal opinion.
and yeah, I mean. Superman's just—he's just too iconic. He's as American as Captain America. You know, so that's just what it is. You had a man that can fly, has super strength, has super speed, has also can look, has the X-ray, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, yeah.
That's why I feel like coming up with a new character, if you're like a comic book creator nowadays, is difficult because what idea has not been taken yet?
Literally, I think Stan Lee himself took most of them.
For real, legend. But what happened?
Who you got at your four?
See, my four, all right, it is definitely not as powerful as, of course, not as powerful as the Martian Manhunter. But at my four, I have the Green Arrow, Oliver Queen.
The word.
Because this dude, I'm telling you, you know, and I'm basing my opinion on the Green Arrow show as well, the CW version of Green Arrow, because of course, you know, when it comes to, you know, even comic books themselves, they always have, like, you know, different versions of, like, the character, you know, but the version in the show, like, just the story, you know, it just sucks you in. Like, makes you want to root for him, because he has basically the same setup as Bruce Wayne. When, you know, this dude's his family's a billionaires, you know, and then he one thing leads to another. Him and his father end up at sea. And the boat gets stuck in a storm, gets destroyed. But him and his father end up in a raft, and him and his father and somebody else ends up on a raft. His father goes ahead and like realizes that there's not enough food for all three of them. This man kills the one dude that was with them. And then turns to him, and tells his son to right his wrongs, and to survive, and turns the gun on himself and shoots himself in the head.
Man, that sounds, like, dramatic.
Yeah, and this is all in you know, the first couple of episodes that you get into the show, okay? So you definitely want to root for that guy. I mean, of course, everything that he does can be, everything that he gets or has can be explained away by, oh, he's a billionaire. You know what I'm saying?
Just like that, man.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, a lot of people tend to be like, oh yeah, he's just a carbon copy of Batman, because he does get, you know, at one point he does get trained by the League of Shadows, you know, which also trained Batman, you know. So
basically he's a rich Hawkeye.
Yeah. Oh yeah, exactly. But, you know, Stephen Amell definitely makes the character like his own, because If any of you guys know Green Arrow from the comics, Green Arrow is more like Deadpool, you know, kind of like a funny guy.
Yeah.
You know.
I can't wait for the Deadpool 3 to come out. Speaking of that.
Oh, definitely. You know,
Jackie coming back as Wolverine is gonna be awesome.
Oh yeah, man. That's what I was about to say, man. I'm happy to see him get his opportunity to actually be in a legit Wolverine suit. But yeah, like so. Definitely Stephen Amell. You know, he makes that character his own. And if you guys have not watched that show, All I'm saying, watch the first season and tell me if you don't get hooked. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying watch the whole show. I'm saying watch the first season and tell me if you don't get hooked. So yeah, you know that you know. So he basically has the same training as Batman, but he's also a marksman with the bow.
Oh yeah, just like Hawkeye. Heck yeah.
So, yeah.
I feel like I just kind of skipped right over Hawkeye. I didn't really talk about him much. Oh, well. No, his show was good, too, though. If you haven't seen it, I recommend seeing it.
How many seasons are out for that show?
I think it's just one.
Oh, okay, okay.
Loki's show was really good, too.
That's another show that I just got to catch up on my Marvel period, realistically. But I mean, besides the movies I've kept up with besides Thor, Love and Thunder.
Yeah. People will say you're not missing much, but I don't know, man. I thought it was enjoyable. But I mean, no, I'm not. I can't say that yet. Never mind.
That's a side tangent. No, but so who's your third? Who's that woman in number three slot?
I gotta go Wonder Woman.
Mm.
I remember as a kid, because my grandfather was a huge Wonder Woman fan back when Linda Carter was the actress.
Yep.
And I just remember growing up with like him having Wonder Woman posters, old school like figures of her, mm-hmm. mugs, mm-hmm. like just a bunch of collectibles, like a lunchbox with her with her picture on it. Like, so I kind of like grew up into it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing the new movie, and I don't know, like I guess it's like biasism towards me because I'm a history buff. So the fact that she's like running around fighting in World War II or World War I actually is pretty cool to me.
And you knowing about, you know, Linda Carter is her name.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman?
I thought she did a pretty good job, personally. The first one was enjoyable. The second one, not so much. But again, I don't feel like that's really her fault.
No,
I feel like it was just bad writing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like her casting caught me off guard because I hadn't seen her acting much.
I feel like it made sense.
Oh no, she definitely looks the part. She definitely looks the part, you know. It definitely does make sense. But like me personally, like I've only seen her act before that. I've only seen her act like in the Fast and Furious movies.
Yeah.
So you know, it was like one of those situations where like you know you see somebody you affiliate that you know. That person with that role, you know?
It doesn't matter as long as we got family.
don't get me started on all that stuff, man, because that's a whole other podcast. And I'm going to be on there for 2 hours.
My bad.
No, but... The most, all I'm gonna say is the most memeable franchise right now, thanks to Vin Diesel. That's all I'm saying.
For real.
But
just stick to saying I am Groot.
But como se dice, what's it called? But she definitely did a good job of like you know bringing that character to live action. She did.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, the first movie I liked a lot.
Yeah, and like I actually like when there's female led roles where the focus is not on making sure that the public knows that the female's a beast. She just shows it. You know what I'm saying?
We already know she's a beast, though. I mean, she's literally a goddess.
Yeah, but you know, but it wasn't forced on you. Like you just had to admit it because she's that much of a beast. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. She would mop the floor with a lot of Marvel heroes. That's for sure.
Oh yeah. You know, just the fact that they were able to make a female led movie that wasn't all about making the female all powerful by anybody's words, but she was like, no, you don't know who I am, but I'm about to show you who I am.
Right. Right, yeah. Everyone was looking at her all crazy and stuff because she was talking about like Greek gods. And, yeah. You know, what? That's not real. What are you talking about? And then she has to fight Ares at the end.
Yeah, and to me it was funny because in the first Wonder Woman, right? So like when she first like gets there, they're over here trying to the soldiers trying to protect her. You know, then they kind of realize she's the one that needs to protect us.
For real. Man, you go out there and take gunfire. I'm staying down here.
Yeah.
For real.
Let me know when it's clear.
Right.
Hey, man, if there's any females like that out there, man, let me know. Okay. I'm single as a Pringle, that's all I'm saying.
Yo, chill.
No, I'm messing. I'm messing, guys. I'm messing. All right. No, but Wonder Woman as a hero is a beast, though. All right, she is a beast.
One of the best.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, man.
Way better than Captain Marvel. Oh, who said that?
Nah, bro. Listen. All I'm saying is Captain Marvel's not gonna be on any of our list. Can I say
not
that?
A shot.
Can I say that? All right, man.
Captain Marvel wasn't that bad in the comics, so that's the sad part. It's just her movie was trash. Yeah,
I actually learned that pretty recently, like that the Captain Marvel was actually a kind of popular character in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they did a horrible job.
I don't know if it's just, I mean, obviously the movie sucked, but I don't know if it's just everybody hates Brie Larson or what it is, but there's just something about her that. Not really a fan.
That movie realistically never had a shot though, because the writing, the execution, just the whole thing was in my opinion was just
garbage.
Yeah. So so yeah, man. She's definitely not gonna be on our list. I mean, if you want to go strictly comics. Maybe, but like,
should be a lot higher.
Yeah. You know. but if we're taking into consideration, the live action stuff, which we both are, she's definitely not up there at all. So, but so where am I at?
Who you got at your three?
At my three. Okay. I might not have as much superpower out there. All right, but I have to have to have Batman. Okay, I'm getting Batman. Batman. You have to, man. This dude is, the greatest detective of all time. Okay,
for real.
He's the one that started it all. Okay,
yeah. But
literally, because DC is Detective Comics. Okay, that's all you really gotta say. But I'm gonna continue.
The Dark Knight trilogy is still goated.
Oh yeah.
Heath Ledger's way, Joker was amazing.
By the way, my favorite Batman is Bale. Don't get me wrong. What's his name? The one dude that just got done doing Batman.
Oh, Patterson.
No, not Patterson. The one before that one.
Ben Affleck.
Yeah, Ben Affleck did a good job. I still have not watched the Patterson Batman.
Yeah, neither have I.
But I've heard great things about Patterson's portrayal of Batman. Which I will soon. I'll watch it here soon. But Ben Affleck did a good job, you know, especially coming off the one of the greatest trilogies of superhero movies all time, you know, with the Dark Knight trilogy, you know, so
goated.
And the Dark Knight. So the Dark Knight is one of the greatest superhero movies, period. So, you know,
it's up there with Spider-Man 2 for sure.
Yeah, coming off of that, you know, he did a good job, but definitely Christian Bale is my favorite Batman. But just Batman, like you, everybody knows who Batman is. Like it doesn't matter who you are or where you are. Everybody knows who Batman is. All right, you got to take into consideration, you know, basically the whole team that he has around him. You know, with Lucius Fox, and you know, and Robin, Nightwing, like all these, you know, different type of people. Even though it's funny because he claims that he loves to work alone, but he has all these sidekicks.
Robin.
So
looking at you, Robin.
and you know, for all the crime fighting he does, he definitely has some time to spend with his lady friends. All right.
Oh yeah.
Listen, this man personifies what it is to be a playboy. All right,
bro has ultimate Riz.
it's funny because when he's Batman, he's like this, you know, he's like this grueling person, right? But like, when he's Bruce Wayne, he's feeling himself. All right,
he's like a Bully McGuire dancing in the streets.
he knows he's Bruce Wayne. You know? Oh man. So I guess the Batmobile is one of the most iconic superhero vehicles of all time.
Batcave is one of the most iconic lairs of all time.
Like my nephew a couple of months ago, got a couple of Hot Wheels for I don't know if it was like an early birthday present or whatever. So, but he got a couple of Hot Wheels, and one of the Hot Wheels was the Batmobile. I got hyped for that. I was like,
you were more excited about it than he was, probably.
Yeah. Oh man. So, yeah. Hey, we all should have a kid inside, okay? We all should be kids at heart. That's all I gotta say.
Facts.
But yeah, so yeah, definitely Batman. All right, Batman has to be on there, and let's not forget. First of all, like I said, just the Justice League, The Batman the Animated Series is one of the most goated series of all time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and a Batman series that's not talked about enough because it didn't last that long was Batman Beyond. Which to me, like, you know, Batman Beyond was not as good as the animated series, but the suit that version of Batman had was nice. Oh man, it was nice. And it was that all black without the cape.
Don't forget, bro, beat Superman.
Oh, I mean, listen, yeah. listen, that movie's a joke. That movie is a complete joke, okay? Because just by the title, I already knew exactly what was going to happen. Everybody and their mother knew what was going to happen. Like, come on now. You going to tell me that, you know, Superman that has a specific weakness, all right? Has a very specific weakness. Is not going to get defeated by a guy in Bruce Wayne / Batman. That's very calculated in everything that he does. And also happens to be a billionaire.
Yeah. Bro's Tony Stark of DC. It might not be as smart, but
he's definitely not as smart, but he's definitely as calculated. But don't get me started with the Lex Luthor in that movie. He did it. I'm sorry, but he did an atrocious job of portraying Lex Luthor. If you want to see, by the way, for those DC fans, if you want to see one of the best Lex Luthor interpretations, go to Supergirl. The series itself is iffy. All right, I enjoy it, you know. But if you want to see peak Lex Luthor, go to Supergirl. But if you just want to sit and laugh, and you know, basically see Lex Luthor / Joker, you can watch Batman vs Superman. Because this man was acting like he was the one that Joker dropped in the acid and all that stuff. Oh man, instead of Harley Quinn, but yeah, man. So Batman definitely has to be my third my top third pick.
Well, I'm interested to hear. I already know what one of your two is going to be, but I'm interested to see who's above him for you.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you want to move on to your second?
Yeah, man, my second's tough. It's between two different people. Okay. But I think I got to go with Thor.
Thor at your number two, because I mean, and I'm saying this because I know, I know how highly regarded you hold Thor, so that's interesting.
Chris Hemsworth, I don't think there's another soul on this earth that could play Thor better. Seeing Asgard brought to life was so dope at the time back in 2011 when the first Thor movie came out.
Yep,
you know,
And for better or worse, that was definitely my introduction to Thor, because I was never given the luxury of or the privilege of reading the comics.
Bro, speaking of the comics, this dude at full power, he could just blink Superman out of existence if he wanted to. This dude can manipulate your soul. He can manipulate matter itself. Like, bro, dude's a menace. Dude's an absolute menace. He can do what Thanos did without the stones. Bro waltzed up to the people that Odin viewed as gods, beat the crap out of them in their own territory without even trying, and just walked away like nothing happened. Bro's a freaking menace, man. Name me another Marvel hero that was able to overpower all Thanos with all six stones. I'll wait.
You'll be waiting forever, because
exactly.
Yeah, man.
All them Scarlet Witch fans about to be pissed off, but man, let me tell you, Thor's mopping the floor with her. For real.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Scarlet Witch is nice, but when it comes to Thor, she ain't doing much. All right.
I mean, yeah, she's got, like, you know, magic and all that, you know, fancy stuff. You know, she's probably a little more, in terms of live action, yeah, she's more powerful, sure. Mm-hmm. But she has the durability of a regular human.
That
blow from Thor, she's a goner.
that might be why people argue about that because all they see is live action.
Listen, in the comics, my boy Thor, bro, was a menace.
And going back to Chris Hemsworth, bro, he definitely looks the part. All right.
Yeah.
But like the way that he can be serious but also joke at the same time.
I think Ryan Rock had the perfect mix when it came to that.
Yeah, I did watch that Ryan Rock, yep.
Yeah, Ragnarok to me is one of my favorite Marvel movies of all time, still to this day.
Yeah, I mean, I like I said before, I don't know what to say about Love and Thunder because I still have not watched it. But
it gets crapped on too much. it is a little goofy, but it gets crapped on way too much.
A little goofy in what sense?
There's a lot more, you know, jokes being cracked. But I blame Guardians of the Galaxy for that.
Oh, yeah.
Because Marvel did that for Guardians of the Galaxy, and they saw it succeeded, so they tried to do it with everything else.
But,
and then people want to complain about it later on. Like, you got to pick one or the other.
See, like, but Guardians of the Galaxy, like, their group of heroes, it like, fits them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know, but my issue with the people who crap on the Thor movies, though, is Thor 1 and Dark World, he's too serious. Love and Thunder, too goofy.
Yeah.
Bro, pick one or the other. Like, you can't complain about both. What do you mean? You gotta pick one or pick the other.
Yeah, man, I don't know. You know, people will always be picky, all right?
For no reason.
Listen, there will always be people that will always find something wrong with anything. So if you enjoyed it, that's all that really matters.
And so when I'm thinking about Thor, and you talk about the Marvel Universe, you know, you see Captain America fighting the Germans in World War II, Tony Stark fighting dudes trying to steal his technology. You know, just stuff like that. I mean, yeah, that's cool and all, but not as cool as waltzing up into Jotunheim and beating the crap out of the Frost Giants, you know? Mm-hmm. or fighting against other gods in Ragnarok, you know?
And listen, I'm only going to say this because I know you're not going to pick them, and I'm not going to either. Listen, the Captain America is nice, okay? He's nice, but he's not Thor nice. That's what I'm saying.
Look. Not even close. That's not a discussion. Bro, I remember my little cousin told me to my face, Iron Man could beat Thor in a fight one-on-one. I said, bro, are you drunk or high? What did you have to smoke before you came here?
And again,
did you not watch the first Avengers when Thor was literally breaking his armor with his bare hands?
just to get a sense of the argument. How old is he? If you don't mind.
He's about to be a senior this year.
All right, so you tell me that he's like 16, 17 years old, right?
17, yep.
See, these are conversations that we're gonna have to have, you know, as we get older. You know, with the newer generation of
because the newer generation, all they talk about is Tony Stark stole the stone from Thanos. He saved the world in Endgame. That's all they want to talk about.
Hey man, listen, Iron Man is not on my list, but he just missed out. By the way, he just missed out.
See, if this was a Marvel exclusive list, yeah, he'd be on my list for sure. 100%.
Enough about the job that Robert Downey Jr. doing Iron Man. Okay.
I don't think there's another soul on this earth that could have done better.
Yo, this man is Iron Man. Okay, he's
he
really is. Like get some scientists together, like build the suit for in real life, and just let him go. Okay. You know. So I mean, he would definitely be on my list if it was a Marvel thing, but yeah. If it wasn't for Thor, that would have been the end game. That would have been end of the world. All right, and not just
if end Thor game. Wasn't stupid and wanted Thanos to suffer at the end of Infinity War, it would have ended right then and there.
Yep.
You remember before Thor showed up to. Wakanda,
mm-hmm.
they were struggling in that fight.
Yep.
Then Thor shows up and boom, everything's just fine.
Yeah, man. I mean, like I said, you know, because of how big the Marvel Cinematic Universe is, the MCU is, you know. I feel like the fans nowadays put too much stock into like the representation in the movies, and like they don't really go back to the comics,
bro. In the comics, Thor soloed Galactus. What makes you think Iron Man stands a chance? Right after he got done fighting him, he soloed the Black Widow. And this is before he became Rune King Thor.
Man, listen, I love Iron Man, but to me, like I said, if this was a Marvel thing, he'd definitely be in the top five. But the fact is that Iron Man is a superhero because of his suit. If it wasn't for his suit, he's a regular dude. Out of his suit, he's a regular dude.
Well, he's a genius billionaire playboy philanthropist.
which he has no problem saying. which I do love that about him. You know, by the way, you know, he embraces it. You know, but yeah, man, like I don't. If for some reason his suit got destroyed and he, you know, and they were able to you know, get to him, he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to doing the comparison, you don't want, like, really think about it. Sit back and think about it before you say something, because that's one of the dumbest takes I ever heard.
Literally, bro, like, if we're talking, I'm just going to speak on Infinity War real quick. In the beginning, Thor tanked the Power Stone to the head. He just sat there and take it. He just sat there and took it. And then, boom, ship explodes. He's floating out in outer space for God knows how long until the Guardians find him. He's still alive to tell the tale.
Yeah, man.
Like, bro, what's Tony supposed to do to him that's going to hurt him? Listen, the power stone of all stones doesn't kill him. Not only does he taint the power stone, he tanks the reality stone too in the dark world. In case y'all forgot, so this dude literally tanked two stones and lived to tell the tale both times.
The Avengers as a whole, like they all have their roles to play, you know. But like when it comes to one on one, you don't want to start having the conversation.
Thor's mollywhopping everybody from the OG six. I'm sorry, even Hulk. I'm sorry. I watched Ragnarok. I saw what happened. He's mollywhopping Hulk.
unless it's that one movie, that one Avengers movie.
Which one?
The was it the first one that Hulk was over here tossing them around.
Oh, yeah, because they were trying to get him to calm down.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm talking if they were fighting for to the death, though.
Yeah, no. But just when you said that scene came to mind.
Bro, in Ragnarok, he was literally fooling around with him, beating the crap out of him without his hammer. Because his hammer was destroyed by that point.
Oh, man. But yeah, man. There's not much you can really put up against Thor, so.
Nah, especially when he becomes Rune King Thor. Not even Soup stands a chance.
Yeah, so.
I mean, bro literally soloed the Devourer of Worlds like it was nothing. You know?
This is all I gotta say. I'm still not into comics yet, but I am super excited to get into comics.
Bro soloed the Devourer of Worlds, and then bro soloed the Devourer of Universes right after, back to back, like it was nothing. And that was before he was at full power. That's the scary part.
Jeez. Listen, and if any of you guys have any takes, you know, put it in, you know, in the comment section, you know. By the way, I hope you guys are enjoying this. And if you guys have any recommendations for when it comes to comic books, let me know. I'm just now trying to get into comics. I've always wanted to. I'm just now getting into comics. Let me know. All right. But should I go with my number two pick?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, my number two pick, which I actually realized that my pick my picks have been basically all DC. But my number two pick is gonna change that, you know, because, you know, he is who he is, and that is, you know, Mr. Peter Parker, Spider-Man. All right.
Yeah.
I mean, and for those that still have not watched the first podcast that we did, yes, world, you're right when you say that Tobey Maguire is the greatest Spider-Man still to ever live.
The goat.
Yes. Okay.
Tom, I don't care what Tom Holland fans have to say. Tobey Maguire is still the GOAT.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, Spider-Man, and we've talked about him, you know, a good amount in the first podcast. So I'm not gonna you know spend too much time on him. But. You know, with that being said, you know, something that you know always gets brought up, which should, is that he's like super relatable. You know what I'm saying? All he is that like we might not be a scientist, you know. All you legit have to be is a scientist and be able to put that into action, and you might be able to be Spider-Man. Okay, that's all I'm saying. Yeah, but man, Spider-Man's always been one of my favorites growing up, you know, and Spider-Man's definitely always been around. Like he's always had, you know, animated series or video games, you know, like all the way back to like the Sega or the Game Boy. You know what I'm saying?
He had a TV show like all the way back in the 60s or 70s too, didn't he?
Oh, did he?
Pretty sure, like the OOG. I'm pretty sure.
Like a live action.
I think there was a live action and there was an animated one.
Oh no, because I know for a fact there was a few animated ones like around the 1970s.
Yeah, I remember the Spectacular Spider-Man.
Yeah,
it wasn't quite that far back, but I think that one was in the 90s, right before Toby was the first ever live action.
Yeah,
Spider-Man in movies anyway.
And Spider-Man shows keep on popping up, right? And like Spider-Man is one of them guys that will never die, all right? Because
mm-hmm.
I mean, and this was made by a man, all right, that died when he was what, like 97, something like that, like in Stan Lee. Which again, the GOAT. When it comes to
rest in peace.
Yes, sir. All right.
I'm really sad he never got to see No Way Home.
Oh, for real. Yeah.
That was magical.
Yeah, and I'm a kid that, you know, played Spider-Man on the PlayStation 1, where like the entry of that game, you know, because back then, memory cards weren't as available. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, you actually had to have a memory card. It wasn't in the system. All right. So, you know, when the game booted up and the game started, Stan Lee like narrated the beginning of the game, and like I used to know that beginning of the game like by memory, and it's just like so crazy that it's been that long since, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But yeah, man. So you know, Spider-Man, like I said, I mean, he's, you know, if I'm going off of Toby's, because I mean that overall, that's the best Spider-Man. All right,
easily.
Yeah. So we all know how strong he is.
Bro, literally out muscle the gravitational pull of the small sun.
Yeah. So
like it was nothing.
So I mean, and of course how smart he is. The one thing that was lacking was his life partner. All right.
Compared to Andrew and Tom, just because of the technology in his universe that was, you know, kind of lacking, I think his IQ was lacking compared to the other two. But
yeah, see, like that's where, I mean, of course, you know, that's where, like, you know, if you can switch Mary Jane with Gwen Stacy,
you know, Emma Stone's Gwen Stacy to be exact, not the Gwen Stacy we saw in 3.
Oh no, definitely not that. Yeah, Emma Stone, Gwen Stacy. If we were to do a flip flop, that'd be a perfect marriage. Okay, that's all. that's all I'm saying. That'll be a dream scenario. Okay,
as long as she doesn't die this time.
Yeah, yeah. No, because. Because McGuire will actually get there in time.
Yo. Dang. I mean, he did in 3. He's not wrong. But... Yeah.
Dang.
That's cold. Poor Andrew.
Hey, man. That's what he gets for hurting my feelings, okay? For letting my Emma Stone die, man. Yo, do that to him, man.
Garfield's overrated. Garfield's underrated, though.
Oh no, he is. He is. I feel like he should be given another opportunity to have his own film. I don't know what that would look like, you know, because I've never really thought about it, but he definitely deserves another shot at it. I don't know.
Especially after his success in No Way Home, everybody loved him. Like, there's a lot of Andrew Garfield fans that kind of popped up out of nowhere, and I was like, yo, Where were you guys 10 years ago?
Yeah. Listen to me. Of course, Tobey Maguire, you know, he should at least get one more film just to wrap it up. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because
we were supposed to get a four in 2011, and then Sony was like, yo, Sam, you got to do this, 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 and this. And Sam said, oh, yeah, F you, I'm out of here.
But
for real, that's literally what happened. And then Toby was out of a job.
But what's it called? You know, at least when it comes to Toby, there's more of a sense of what to do with the character. You know what I'm saying? But when it comes to Garfield Spider-Man, it's kind of up in the air, at least to me. But he definitely deserves another shot at it. Cause I feel like with the right director, the movie would do great in the box office.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
100%.
So you want to move on to your number one?
Well, my number
one's the same. Spider-Man's my number one. Okay, so you can just continue to talk about Spider-Man if you want.
Well, I mean, yeah, he's probably the most relatable superhero out there. You know, just some high school kid that gets bullied until he gets bitten by the spider, obviously. And gets his super strength, super speed, all that. But even after he gets his powers, he's still like that nerdy kid, you know? He doesn't make it known. Well, yeah. Unless you're Andrew Garfield.
became Michael Jordan overnight.
For real.
Broke out the Usain Bolt speed overnight.
Yeah, this dude can low key be part of the Twilight saga.
Nah, leave him out of this. Don't disrespect him like that. Twilight was a dumpster fire.
I mean, he has the Edward hair.
Dumpster fire. Tobey Maguire's movies meant a lot to me as a kid, back in the 2000s.
Yeah, man. Like I always say, man, Toby's that dude. I mean, and yes, there will always be a bias because I am 27, about to be 28. But just logically, the only thing that he definitely does not have is Emma Stone's Gwen Stacy. That's all I'm saying. Because, Kristen Dunst, you know, she played her role perfectly because that's what she was given. All right. But the Emma Stone, Gwen Stacy, like she was actually, a part of Garfield Spider-Man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, she actually helped him out.
Yeah, so
made the cure when he was fighting the lizard in the first one and helped him fight Electro in the second one.
Mm-hmm. And just by the feats that McGuire's Spider-Man was able to pull off compared to Garfield and definitely Tom Holland. All right.
Spider-Man featuring Iron Man?
Yeah.
I should say Iron Man featuring Spider-Man. Yeah,
exactly.
For real.
Exactly, right there. Okay.
Well, listen, all I'm saying is give Tony Stark and watch what would happen. Could you imagine if Toby had the Iron Spider suit? Oh, my God. Yo.
Oh man, that's always I mean, like to me, it's funny to be comparing Tom Holland to Toby, or even say that Holland's better than Toby. Nah. Nope. No, sir.
Nah, man. He doesn't even come close. To me, he's got to surpass Andrew Garfield before we gotta, you know, before we talk about him being on the same level as Toby.
The only thing he has better than better than Toby is probably the aesthetics of his suit.
Yeah, that's because of who though.
Yep. of his father.
That's Tony Stark.
Yeah. I'm gonna start calling calling Spider-Man
Iron Boy Jr.
I'm gonna start calling him Robin.
For real. I think my favorite is when Tom Holland fans go, "Oh, he lifted or he held the ship together." No, he didn't. Did you not watch the movie? It was still falling apart until Tony Stark showed up.
Mm-hmm.
He lifted a building off himself. He lifted the rubble off himself, which, yes, is still impressive, but let's not act like he lifted a whole building off himself there, bud.
Yeah.
Toby literally caught 1/4 of a building that was getting pulled in by the sun and threw it off his back like it was nothing. Like, calm down. Year one, movie one, Toby fought a super soldier, beat the crap out of him so bad that he was like, "Toby, please stop. Please stop beating the crap out of me, bro. I'm trying to live."
See, this is why, like, I question if, like, these newer Marvel fans, which I love the fact that there is new Marvel fans, because, you know.
Some of their takes be really stupid, though. I don't know.
You know, but with all this mainstream superhero love that we get to experience, you're gonna get those takes. You know, because when we were growing up, superhero movies were not that common.
Nah, Toby opened the doorway for that.
Yeah. So
and so did RDJ.
And I'm telling you, we grew up. Like at the perfect time, like as we grew, we literally got,
Toby Spider-Man,
Toby's trilogy,
the Avengers.
Then we got the Dark Knight trilogy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that too.
Which solidified, you know, those two trilogies by themselves solidified that superhero movies were here to stay. You know what I'm saying, or that at least that they could be successful. You know,
mm-hmm.
And then you got the Avengers, which blew the roof off the whole thing. You know,
yep, mm-hmm. Because the first Avengers, in terms of live action movies, we've never seen really a team of superheroes team up like that.
Nope. Cause even the Hulk solo movie was
trash,
garbage. Yeah,
garbage. We don't talk about that.
So I mean, there's something to be said about definitely Iron Man. Iron Man definitely solidified at least Marvel.
Iron Man featuring Spider Man.
Yeah. yeah, man. So
listen, man, in Spider-Man 3, this dude fought Harry, who's, you know, stronger than Norman was, because he actually got the full dose, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bro was more worried about losing his engagement ring than fighting Harry, and still sent him to the hospital. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, listen, there's two things that come to mind when I think Iron Man. And those two things are when he first gets out of the whole capture situation, where he gets out of the desert and they bring him back.
Yep.
And the one thing this dude wants is a Whopper from BK.
From Kurger Bing.
Yes. So like, dude, when at the end of the first movie, when he's like, I am Iron Man, bro. I remember I went wild. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I think we all did.
Yo, I can't. I was like, I can't wait for the second movie. Let's go. You know, like.
Then we got Captain America, Thor, Hulk. We got like a bunch of different movies after that too.
Yep. Yeah, man. See, Hulk. I feel like Hulk is difficult to make a solo movie out of. You know, me personally, I think Hulk is a very difficult character to make a solo movie out of.
Nah, I feel that.
You know, because it's one thing. Yeah, you could explore his human side. But when he like gets mad or whatever, or like, you know, becomes the Hulk, he's more
That's what we're here for. We're not here for his human side.
Yeah, exactly. you know. So what are you gonna do with that though? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
And like that whole, you know, oh, he has a beast side to him, you know, a beast side to him that you have to calm down. That's been overplayed, you know, a lot. And that's not Hulk's fault, but it is what it is.
Mhm. Yeah, man. Spider-Man's my clear cut number one pick.
To me, listen, I'm gonna go to my number one, and you might not have much to say about this because I don't know how familiar you are with him.
I already know who it's gonna be, I think.
Oh yes, you do. And it is, ladies and gentlemen, The Flash.
Yeah, I saw that one coming.
All right, but. To be specific, because I know, especially those comic book, you know, fans, you know, will tear me a new one if I don't specify. it's Barry Allen. All right, Barry Allen. Listen, the fact that you can literally. Go back in time. What's it called? Talk to yourself like a couple seconds before anything happens, and be like, "Hey, buddy, this is gonna happen. So I'm gonna need you to die, you know, and I'm gonna take care of the problem. All right, I'm gonna need you to help me with this. Like the fact that you can make time remnants of yourself." And basically never die, you know, because you can make time remnants of you throughout time, and you can basically never die, you know. So, but like the fact the and also he has one of the most difficult powers to deal with because of the fact that. He has the ability to go back in time and save his mom from being murdered. But of course, if he did that, you know, things would you know, everything would change, you know, cause and effect type thing, you know?
Right. They'd mess up the present, right?
Yep. So, you know, and in the show, he does go back and save his mom and something called a flashpoint happens, you know, which, you know, he suffers the consequences even when he goes back and fixes it. But
that's some Back to the Future crap right there.
No, but it's a beautiful thing. Okay, it's a beautiful thing. The fact that you can go back to the past or into the future. Okay, I'm like, bro, you're telling me that I can go into the future and see what's gonna happen, like, you like bro. I mean, and by the way, for those that don't know, he does have super speed healing also. So that also factors into it, and basically, there's nobody that can really touch him because by the time that, you know, Batman, Superman, all these dudes. Go to hit them, they're dead. they're dead because this dude's literally the fastest man alive.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying, man. I mean, like, there's a buttload of speedsters when it comes to you know, to who wore the Flash, you know, moniker. But Barry Allen, oh, and by the way, excuse me, by the way, Barry Allen is a CSI. So he's not a dummy, you know. So this dude still got brains, okay? So that also factors into it. And just I feel like the Flash is overpowered, but I love it. I love it.
Yeah, same with Thor at full power.
And sometimes, yeah, watching the show it can get aggravating because you're like, you're the Flash, dude. This dude should not even be touching you. Why do you even stop to talk to him? You know what I'm saying? But for show purposes, of course, you know, things have to happen, you know, because if the Flash was the Flash on the show, you know, there'd be no show. It's as simple as that. And if you have not yet to watch the Flash, and let's say you're not the biggest fan, at least watch the first season. The first season is beautiful. All right, the first season is, in my opinion, the best season of the show. Tom Cavanaugh does a beautiful job of playing you know, his part. I'm not gonna specify what it is, you know, just in case I make Brody watch it. But yeah, man, the Flash has to top my list. The Scarlet Speedster. I mean, there's always something about you know, having the need for speed. You know. So, and this man is on a short list because he can run on water. So.
Yeah, call him Jesus.
Yeah, he's on a short list, but he's. Oh man, but yeah. So I mean, so everything, of course, everything that he does is, you know, with his super speed, you know, super speed punching, super speed everything, but he also has, like, you know, he can literally, run and then throw lightning. Off of the lightning, well, the lightning that he you know, generates. So I mean, and then he has the ability to move his arms and basically create a tornado if he really wanted to. With his super speed as well. So I mean, there's no DC, at least there's nobody in the Justice League that could really touch the Flash. If you ask anybody, you know, when they go to do a Marvel DC or you know, best heroes, I'm not saying the Flash is number one. But he's definitely up there. If you really get to know, you know, get to know the Flash. Oh, and by the way, because we've been talking about the shows, Grant Gustin, does a perfect job of portraying the Flash. Nothing can be said about Ezra Miller or whatever his name is. All right. He's No, I watched that movie. Now I understand why it's negative 200 million. All right. listen, it was an all right movie, but I found it really difficult to root for a dude that's been in legal trouble, especially his legal trouble. If for those that you know want to look it up, go ahead and do so. I'm not gonna get into it in here, but all I'm gonna say, he's a scumbag. All right, that's all I'm gonna say. All right, and please, DC, whoever is in charge of the DCEU, please bring in Grant Gustin. Okay, pay the dude whatever he has to get paid. The dude literally has played the Flash for 9 seasons, basically 10 years of his life, and you're not gonna give him the job. You're gonna give him to a dude that's literally been screwing up left and right.
Yeah. Also, fire whoever's in charge of casting.
Yes, please. Because you know, not nowadays you get fired for littering. All right. And you're telling me that this dude still has a job after that? No, bro. No. Please get Grant Gustin. Do the world a favor. You know, at least the Flash man's a favor, because everybody's been talking about it, and the DCEU does not want to listen. All right. Maybe that's why the MCU is leagues ahead of you guys, because you guys are straight garbage. All right. And it was really disappointing to see, as a huge Flash fan that I am, it was very disappointing to see that, you know, that to be like the most recent Flash interpretation. And if I'm not mistaken, that was the first Flash movie made, at least modern day. So yeah, that was very disappointing, and it deserves all the criticism that it's gotten. I'm sorry. I don't even know how they got Michael Keegan to reprise his role as Batman. I honestly don't have. They must have paid this dude a buttload of money, because that was not the movie, dude. You want to talk about Iron Man and Tom Holland, bro? That movie gave me vibes that it was trying so hard to be a Batman movie instead of a Flash movie. Yeah, man. And at the end of the movie, because the whole, you know, basically the thing happens where he goes back in time, save his mom. But the beautiful thing is that they don't show who killed his mom, so they can still do that whole storyline with Grant Gustin if they really wanted to, you know, because they didn't really specify who killed his mom. They just said somebody came in and killed his mom. That's it. But like, oh, and by the way, this Flash's mom is Hispanic, which kind of caught me off guard. I mean, I don't have a problem with it, because I'm Hispanic. You know what I'm saying? But it was definitely surprising. But yeah, man. He goes back in time and saves his mom, and so he changes basically the whole thing, and at the end of the movie he goes back and puts everything back where how it was, but the Batman is not Ben Affleck. It's not Michael Keaton. It's George Clooney. So I mean, that's how you know this man messed up. All right. See, I really don't understand. I really don't understand how they got these high profile dudes to be in such a crappy movie. Like it's an alright movie, but just the star power, that like the talent that they brought into this movie, they really wasted that. And that's what makes me angry. They wasted it. Brody, it's like if the MCU would have botched the whole three Spider-Man thing going on. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, Sony did kind of botch them. I don't know what it is about Sony and Spider-Man, but Sony loves screwing over every actor that plays them. And I don't understand why.
So, like, I mean,
Sony tried to get too involved with Spider-Man 3, and it flopped compared to the first two. And then they were like, why did that happen? Well, gee, I don't know. Instead of maybe letting Sam Raimi do his thing, like he did in the first two, that Rotten Tomatoes gave. Now, usually Rotten Tomatoes doesn't know how to rate movies. Usually they are freaking stupid when it comes to rating movies. But they knew what they were talking about with the first two Spider-Man films. 90%, 93%. Although I would give Spider-Man 2 higher than a 93, but that's just me. But anyway, instead of letting Sam work his magic, you were like, nope, we're going to scratch everything you just said. You have to put Venom in there.
Hey, but
and Sam was like, no, but this is going to be way better. And Sony said, I don't care. Black goo needs to be in there somehow.
So Sony said, hello, Wisconsin!
For real! I don't know who was in charge of that casting, but they need to be fired immediately.
You didn't see the deleted scenes where Kitty was coming after Spider-Man.
And Red Foreman was saying, "I'm gonna put my foot in your ass."
Oh man.
Yep, and then fast forward. 5 years later to Andrew Garfield. How do you have Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone in the same movie and your movie still sucks? You gotta have a special talent to pull that off, Sony. I'm just saying.
See that's what I'm saying. That's why I get so angry about like all these actors that they pulled in to do the Flash movie, and it sucks. And the box office numbers show it. To me, it's straight.
The thing that pissed me off about Sony, man, is when Andrew Garfield's movies did so horrible, they were like, yeah, Andrew, you're fired. Mm-hmm. Like, bro, how are you going to blame Andrew Garfield? He did what he was – he showed up. He did what he had to do.
I mean, listen, the corporation is never gonna admitted that they were wrong.
Yeah, I know. I still don't forgive them what they did to my boy Sly Cooper, though.
Oh, man.
I got personal beef with Sony for that, man.
And going back to the Flash real quick, man. The one thing that really didn't make sense to me was, like, they literally, because the CW... Every year they used to have like crossovers, right? From show to show. And Ezra Miller actually appeared in the Flash show, so it got everybody excited. when the Flash movie was, you know, was announced, everybody thought that you know, that Grant Gustin's version of Barry Allen was gonna make an appearance, and nothing.
Never did.
Yeah. One more point. It has nothing to do with like how horrible the movie was or anything, but like the way that this dude, Ezra Miller's Flash, every time he got ready to run, he looked so stupid. Like Brody, when we're done with this, with this episode, I'm gonna need to look that up. He looks so dumb. Like, there is no reason for him not to have to pose like a trophy. For, you know, when he went to run, like, dude, it was so idiotic. It was like, if they made him go to like ballet classes. And the director was like, oh yeah, we're about to make these ballet lessons pay off.
Oh, dang.
You know, and the beautiful thing is that you have something to compare it to when it comes to the Flash, because you got the show. You know what I'm saying? What when the Flash on the show goes to speed off, he just does it. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't pose every time he goes to run. It's just so annoying. And dude, that movie, like, I know it's a superhero movie and everything, but dude, that movie is so CGI heavy, but the CGI looks so ugly, bro. It's not there, and then there's this scene with like the babies, like there's newborns, falling from a building, right? From a hospital building, and the babies look so creepy. They're over here giving Twilight a run for the money.
I mean, I don't know. Twilight was hot garbage in a summer day.
No, but for those that know that Twilight baby look scary as can be, man. No. Oh man,
yo,
uh-huh.
I don't know what just happened. I just disconnected for some reason.
You're still here. It's still disconnected.
Weird. No, like, I had to join back in real quick. I don't know what happened.
Oh, you're able to rejoin?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Good to know. But yeah, guys, so that's our list. If there's anything that you want us to talk about, cuz you know, with this podcast, you know, me, Brody, and Torres, you know, Torres not here with us today because he has another engagement to, you know, that he had to take care of, but you know, we're gonna talk about, you know, games. We're gonna talk about you know,
still gotta finish up the draft for games.
We're definitely gonna do that. You know, we're gonna talk about you know, more than just superhero movies. You know, we're gonna talk about like comedy movies, just movies in general. You know, like if there's like new releases, and you guys want us to talk about that, we'll watch the movies and we'll talk about it. You know, realistically, anything that you know, sports. You know, we'll talk about sports, football, basketball, even some baseball, you know, because I'm a baseball fan, you know, but but yeah, I mean, like I said, man, hope you guys enjoyed. And let us know. Let us know what are your top five favorite superheroes. And in this context, there is no wrong answer. All right. We might disagree, but it's your personal top five. You know, you could have I don't know. You could have Mr. Incredible in there if you wanted to. Realistically, it doesn't really matter.
Mr. Incredible.
You know, I don't know. I'm just trying to make a point. Okay, so. but yeah, let us know what are your top five favorite superheroes, and you know, and if you're interested, you know, I haven't posted in a while, which I will soon. Coming up in September. This podcast is named after my YouTube channel, so if you guys are interested in that, you know, you can go over there and check that out. By the way, real quick tangent. I am super excited for the Spider-Man 2 game coming out. So
it comes in October, right?
Yep. We'll see when we get that. And yeah, so definitely had a whole bunch of fun doing this podcast again. And I'm guessing Brody will see the same. But yeah, man, always enjoy doing these, you know. Even though I know that it always takes a minute, you know, to actually do, but you know, always having nice friendly conversations, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. Even though I know we'll get to the point where we will debate heavily, you know, certain topics. So yeah, I mean, any last comments, Brody?
Spider-Man's the GOAT.
Yeah, I mean, it always depends what Spider-Man talk about, but
well, obviously I'm talking about Toby.
No, but I just wanted that to be clear to the Holland lovers.
Just to make it bad.
Oh man, no, but
see, at least with Andrew Garfield fans, I feel like I can be civil with them, or at least they can be civil with me. But Tom Holland fans, as soon as you even say anything about the other two, they're like, "Oh well, Tom's better." I'm like, bro. No one's talking about Tom right now, bro. Like, chill.
The last thing I'm going to say about that is show me his villains, okay? Sounds good. Show me his villains.
An elderly guy with wings and a middle-aged man with technology. Woohoo. Yay. Congratulations. Give yourself a cookie.
And yet he still needed another middle-aged man with technology to help him out.
You're really trying to light a fire under them, huh?
Oh man, it's just too easy.
All the Tom Holland fans saying, "Oh, yeah, give Tom the Iron Spider suit. He's killing Toby." Yeah, that may be so. But if you want to do best on best, go ahead and give Iron Boy Jr. his iron spider suit. But if we want to do best on best, give Toby the symbiote suit. Watch what would happen. Watch what would happen.
Listen, he'll beat him to a pulp, and then he'll dance on him.
Well, no, he's gonna beat him to a pulp,
And then he's gonna say, "Stings, doesn't it?" And then he'll dance on him.
And then when he goes to leave, he'll say, "See you, Trump."
See you, Trump. Oh, look at little Iron Man Jr. Gonna cry?
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. It's too easy. You're right. It's too easy, man. But Bully Maguire claps Iron Spider Tom. I don't care what anybody says.
Hey, man.
You know how much of an amp that gives him? People forget the black suit makes him stronger and faster.
Yep.
And more durable.
Y'all are entitled to your own opinion.
That doesn't make it fact, though.
But
let's make that clear. It doesn't make it facts.
Oh, man.
Tom Holland couldn't even beat Doc Ock with the Iron Spider suit. What makes you think he's going to stand a chance against Black Suit Toby?
And listen. I'm open to one of you Holland supporters to get on the podcast.
Don't be toxic about it though, like how most of them are.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, we can have a civil conversation, okay? So if any of you guys are interested, let me know. And all you have to do is follow me on Facebook, which is I go by the same name, Dominican Gaming, because on Facebook you can't put numbers, So
Dominican Gaming. Like the villains they had to fight alone just puts them in different leagues, bro.
That's what I definitely realized when we were talking about like the movies. The thing that made Maguire's movies so great was the villains that he had overcome to remain alive, realistically, because his villains were trying to end the world.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, Norman, threw a pumpkin bomb at his face. He tanked it. Got the crap beaten out of him. Tanked it. He made the mistake of bringing up MJ. And then he got his cheeks clapped.
But yeah, man. So
this is year one, movie one. Toby. He's still a baby. He's not even Spider-Man yet.
Man. So,
what you know what happened when Tom Holland fought Green Goblin when he was more experienced? Bro got mollywopped. The difference between Toby and Tom fighting Green Goblin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tom's punching him. Norman's laughing at him. Norman's just eating it, laughing in his face. Mm-hmm. When Toby's doing it, bro had to beg him to stop. Peter, yep. Stop. It's me. Bro was begging for his life. And that was with his helmet on.
Yep.
Oh, I think my favorite is when Tom fans will say, "Oh, he was just doing that to trick Toby." Well, ask yourself why that is, though. Why do you have to do that to begin with?
And that was after they were already fighting where Toby was still getting hit himself.
Well, why did Norman have to do that, though? Because if Toby kept going, he was going to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
He had to do something. He was going to die either way.
Yeah, man.
Thought that he was going to win was to take Toby out with him. That's the only way he thought he could win. Because if the glider would have hit Toby, it was still going to pierce through him and get into Norman, too, bro.
Yep.
Oh, speaking of Torres, you just tried to call me.
So this doesn't become another Spider-Man podcast.
It already has.
I'm gonna stop it right here. Like I said, I hope you guys enjoyed. If you did, let us know down in the comments and share it with your friends. Share with your friends, with your neighbors, with your colleagues, whatever you want to call it. And yeah, hope you enjoy the rest of the content on the, you know, on my list, and hope you tune in next time. For Brody, this gaming, and catch you on the flip side.
Be nice to your mamas.